Right. Morning, church. It's so good to be here all together. I'd like to invite Johan up to come join me on stage here. And Johan will give you a better idea of the heart behind Open Doors, but we really just want to say welcome this morning, Johan. We're really blessed to have you here, and expectant for what the Lord is going to share through you. And as I was just reflecting a bit this past week, I was really so excited, I think, around what the Lord wants to come and do this morning and share through Johan. And I was just reminded of the vision that the Lord has placed in us as a broader church to reach nations and generations, and then specifically for us here in Cape Town, of being a home in the city, but also a home in the city, but also a family on a mission, and that the Lord invites us not only to look inwardly to sort of our community, but also to have this outward focus, to look up and to look around and see the needs in our broader church community. And it's really with that heart that we're so excited to have you here, Johan. Maybe before we jump into it, we can take a moment just to pray, and then we'll get going. Father God, thank you so much, that you are a good Father. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you here in this discussion, and we pray may our hearts be soft to what you want to do. Lord God, may our hearts be like clay in your hands. We open our ears to hear what you are saying, and we trust that we would be sensitive to that and respond where you want us to respond, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Awesome. So maybe to kick us off, Johan, you could share a bit more about Open Doors, the heart behind it, and give us a bit of color there.
So just first of all, thank you so much for being or inviting us to be with you and to share with you. I'm not quite sure how many of you know about Open Doors, the persecuted church. Well, there's quite a crowd. Yeah, one, two. So we want to talk about that. But not just Open Doors, we also like to talk about the persecuted church. In fact, in the main, we'd like to share with you about the persecuted church. Organization that started, you don't mind if I kick off, eh? Okay. So it's an organization that started around 70 years ago, in 1955 or thereabout, by a guy called Andrew. He was known as Brother Andrew, and his other name was God's Smuggler. Now, if you're from the community that I come from, if you call or rather mention the phrase smuggling, it's associated with different things. Narcotics and illegal ones at that. But this guy was actually smuggling Bibles. I'd like to play you that video if my brother is with me. But it will tell you more about what the organization is about. So if we can kick off with that, it will allow us a good segue to understand the organization a little bit better, but also to know the brother a little bit better. It's about his life. He passed on in 2022, or 2023, thereabout, after a fruitful labor within God's acre. And we'll play the video now. So that would be the first video, slide two. Thank you.
Actually blown your cover now, have you? You can't smuggle anymore.
That's what you think.
Oh, I jumped to a conclusion.
Yeah.
Well, now, the first trip across, you just pulled up to the border. Is that when you prayed and said, God, let the seeing not see at that time? Or was that
That's what
time?
We call my smuggler's prayer, when I say, Lord Jesus, when you were on earth, you've made so many blind eyes to see. Now, it's the same job for you to make seeing eyes blind, but you've got to do it now. And if he doesn't, then I've had it. I cannot outsmart the custom guards. Just think, when I pull my car in there and I get out to show my papers, I've had situations where they took 4 hours to search. Two fellows in the front of my vehicle, two in the rear, two underneath, and two standing there to watch the expression on my face to see if I was getting nervous. What can you do?
And all the time they couldn't find the Bible?
No, I've never lost one Bible in 20 years that I've done.
Praise God. Oh, that's so.
God spoke to me again through his word. Awake, strengthen what remains, which is at the point of death. Then I understood I have to go to the Christians. I had no idea how to get there. Well, in that one city, okay. But after that, I had no money, no contacts, no language. But something was a burning in my heart. And I said, Lord, yes. But how? I think we in the West, now this is a personal confession, I think we are cowards. We ought to become people of guts and courage and strong convictions, and don't count our lives dear unto ourselves. Just did it in obedience to God's permission. It was so big and bold, that endeavor. We did it in one night. Time magazine here says it was the boldest expedition that they have ever witnessed in missions, and I'm glad we were part of it. We did it, but we did it in Jesus' name. Now that I have come of age, more and more people ask, Andrew, what do you want written on your tombstone? I have options. One of them, it sounds very pious, he's not here, he's risen. Or another option is, he did what he couldn't. Or, like Oswald Chambers' gravestone, I visited that graveyard in Zaytun in Egypt. Oswald Chambers, a disciple of Jesus Christ. That gives glory to God, a disciple of Jesus Christ.
All right, so that's how, well, some of the underbuild of this organization, how it came about and so forth, yeah.
It's amazing. Thanks, Jan. I think the part that stood out for me there is not to take care, but take risks. yeah, it's just beautiful to see the heart. I think a lot of us would have heard about persecution taking place in the church globally, but in South Africa, we're quite shielded from a lot of that. When we refer to persecution, what do we mean by that, and what are the different types of persecution that we see the church being faced by?
So persecution is definitely happening. Let's start with that. And yes, it takes different forms. It could happen that there's pressure from government and in their policies where they put some restrictions on the church. You can't build a church, you can't gather, for example. And then there's the violence that normally comes from your extremists. If you look at Nigeria and how harsh the violence is over there, that millions, hundreds and thousands of children of God being executed, persecuted. We've recently sort of heard about people in Nairobi being tied, their hands behind their back, and they were marched into a church building, 70 of them, and they were beheaded. Women, children, men. And why? It's because they love Christ, they live for Christ, they advocate for Christ. And that's the other type of. But then there's also, you know, through silent persecution, if I can call it that, people being ostracized in their homes because they love Christ, they came to Christ. And perhaps, if you don't mind, if I can share the next video with you, it speaks of a young child, and I was hoping my brother can help me with an example. You're still okay? Your leg's still okay? Can you do it? No, he injured his leg yesterday, I think, or somewhere. But it speaks of the lady called Susan of Uganda, and she's 13 years old. And she was in her own home persecuted because she came to Christ. So I don't know what slide it is. My laptop just froze. But brother, do you mind the scrolling? I think it's one of the last slides on there. Move on.
What would you
pass that one? It should be this one.
You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. Hallowed be thy name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. There's power in the name of Jesus. Take the third commandment, for example. You shall not use the Lord's name in vain. For years, I simply thought that meant not swearing or cursing using the Lord's name, but I stumbled across a simple but incredible realization. Because a more literal translation of that commandment actually reads, you shall not use the name of Yahweh for worthlessness. You shall not use the name of Yahweh casually, complacently, without respect, without value. It's the moment in time I realized that I actually break this commandment all the time. And more often than not, I break it at church. How much value, how much worth do you place on the name of Jesus? As I thought through this, it reminded me of a girl called Susan from Uganda. She's 14 years old and from a strictly Islamic family. One day a visiting speaker came to her school. He spoke about this guy called Jesus who claimed he was the Son of God and had come to save the world. And right there, Susan decided to give her life to Jesus. When she got home, her father found out and he was furious. In fact, on one occasion in broad daylight, he grabbed Susan and her younger brother and dragged them outside. He held a knife to their throat and said, "Susan, if you do not stop going to church and worshiping God, I will kill you and your brother." But Susan didn't stop. Her father grabbed her. He took her to a room in their house and placed a mat on the floor. He told Susan to sit on that mat and do not move until you are willing to deny Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Her father turned around, walked out of the room, and locked the door. Susan's father didn't return to that room for 3 months. The only way Susan survived was that while her father was out, her brother would dig a hole under the door. He would pour water into it for Susan to lap up. On occasion, he would fry up some banana and slide that under the door to his sister. After about 3 months, the neighbors began to wonder where Susan was, and they asked her brother. He told them, and they immediately called the police. When they came, they opened the door and they found Susan. She was sitting on the mat. She was alive, but only just. You see, the bones in her legs had begun to grow and conform to the way she had been sitting, and she weighed 20 kilos. They grabbed her and rushed her to hospital, where they began to rehabilitate her. When Susan was asked why she hadn't tried to escape, why she hadn't even left the mat, without missing a beat, she replied, "Because my father said if I was to leave that mat, I would be denying Jesus, and I couldn't do that." Worthlessness. It never even seemed to cross her mind, did it? This is exactly what the third commandment is about. A faith driven by a passion for God that realizes not only to be in relationship with Him, but to be able to call on His name is among the most sacred privileges we have as Christians. A privilege the world can't conceive, and a privilege that we so often take for granted. "You shall not use the name of Yahweh for worthlessness." Susan wouldn't. Do you?
Yeah, perhaps just to emphasize a few points there. And I think for me, it's what resonates with me is the worthlessness. That how often do I use the name of Jesus without ascribing the worthiness of it that it needs to? I mean, we are reminded this weekend today how worthy Jesus Christ really is for us, that He died for us whilst we were still sinners. And that allowed us to come to God. And Susan, 13-year-old, sitting on cross-legged on a mat and not willing to move from that mat because of the worth that she ascribes to the name of Jesus.
Yeah, thanks, Jan. That's, it's incredible. Those testimonies are so powerful. You've mentioned some of the areas where persecution is taking place. It sounds like quite a bit in Africa. Where else is persecution currently happening?
So, it's everywhere in the world. It's everywhere in Africa. Out of the top 50, 19 countries are in that top 50, are in Africa. Nigeria being one of the highest ranked. But I'd like to show you that video of where it shares that. If I could go back to your question earlier on in terms of types of persecution, I think it's worth just mentioning a few examples of what's happening. Not in these persecuted countries, though. It happens in countries that we expect, where the Bible came from, where the Bible was translated. I mean, Scotland, for example, are one of the countries where persecution is happening. And I'd like to just give you an example. Brother, if you can go me to the slide called Grandmother Arrested. Ah, there you go. So in February of 27th of February, this was shared, that a grandmother was arrested for holding a sign offering conversation outside a Scottish hospital performing abortions. And she was inviting people going for abortions to come and share with her, come and talk to her, and hoping that she could direct them differently. And she was arrested. So persecution is happening in Scotland, who used to be known as the country of the book, the Bible. So it's happening there. The next slide, brother. And this happened in 2024. I'm not going to try and pronounce the guy's name, but he had the name of Jesus printed on his board, and he was asked to remove it at the Olympics. So at that level, at that sort of platform, the name of Christ is being kicked to the curb, so to speak. And that's the level of persecution that also happens, and it happens in the Western world. So yeah, back to what I wanted to share with you in terms of where it happens. There's a video, a short video that it's going to explain much better as to where it happens. So if you could take me to that lady that was talking earlier on.
What would you sacrifice to share the greatest truth the world has ever known? For over 2,000 years, the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, has transformed many hearts and lives. But it has come at a great cost for many of these lives. Believers who dare to share the gospel are mocked, beaten, imprisoned, and even martyred. And still, they speak. Because they believe that the gospel is not only worth living for, but worth dying for. From Stephen, the first martyr in the Bible, who was stoned for declaring Christ as Lord, to modern-day faithful Christians, the cost remains steep. Yet for centuries, men and women, from Europe to Asia, Africa, the Middle East and Latin America, have stood for the gospel, knowing it could cost them everything. They share Christ's truth regardless, because they understand Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. The Word of God says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Today, more than 380 million Christians face high levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith in Christ. That is one in every seven Christians who live in situations of at least high levels of persecution or discrimination for their faith. Over the past 30 years, persecution has spread from only a handful of countries to 50 countries. Each year, it's documented in the annual Open Doors World Watch List. This list shows the 50 most dangerous countries where Christians face severe persecution and discrimination for their faith. In these countries alone, 310 million Christians face very high or extreme levels of persecution and discrimination for their faith. Churches are forced to close down, state-controlled titans, and Islamic extremists gain ground in these countries. Most of the trends for 2025 are driven by the increasing anti-Christian violence. In Central Asia, authoritarian control clamped down on religious freedom, with Kyrgyzstan experiencing the greatest rise in score, pushing it into the top 50. Civil wars in Yemen, Myanmar, and Sudan created unstable environments, putting Christians in the crossfires of these wars. Africa, home to the world's largest Christian population, continues to see targeted violence against Christians in sub-Saharan Africa. In Syria and Palestine, Christians are leaving their ancient homeland as they become less hospitable for them. Meanwhile, in Algeria, China, Afghanistan, and Libya, closures and crackdowns on churches have driven the church to silence. Despite all this, the gospel continues to spread, and so the church continues to grow in some of the darkest places on earth. All because Christians dare to share the gospel. In these top 50 countries, Christians are risking all for the sake of the gospel. Of the top 10 countries, Yemen moves to number 3 due to an increase in violence, while the other countries' scores remain relatively unchanged as persecution and discrimination remains extreme. In all these countries, they dare to share Jesus so that others can experience the hope they have in Him. What about you? Are you willing to live out your Christian faith as our brothers and sisters courageously risk persecution, discrimination, and even death for it? When you dare to share Jesus, knowing what it could cost you. Join our brothers and sisters in prayer as they dare to live out their faith and share the gospel boldly, despite the dangers driven by their love for Christ.
So I think the catchphrase there is, and this drives the campaign this year for speaking about the World Watch List, is dare to share. If you look at Susan, she dared, and she was persecuted, but she continued to do so. And so does hundreds, millions of people today who believe in Christ. They share our freedom, or rather, they share the salvation, the saving grace of Jesus, but they don't have our freedom, but they dare to do so, share the gospel. Thanks.
That's beautiful, Jan. I think, many of us might be sitting here and, as we reflect on the persecution that the church is facing, we realize it's our church family as well that is facing that persecution, and we might be asking ourselves, sitting here in South Africa, what is our response to that? Where does that leave us as the church in SA?
And I think I'm reminded by, and this verse sort of in part helped me along in getting involved with Open Doors, is this, that we think of those who are in prison as if we are in prison with them, in Hebrew 13. And I think that's what we need to do. In fact, the book of Hebrew encourages us to do so in closing, to think of those who are in prison as if we are in prison with them. Because if one end of your body is hurt, your whole body feels that. And so is the body of Christ as well. And you are invited then to do that. Pray for the persecuted church. That is essential. We're hearing stories from the field where people are encouraged by the prayer from the brothers and sisters in the Western world, or the unpersecuted countries, or the countries where there's no persecution. So we urge people through these conversations, and we urge people to please pray. Go. So one of you, two of you, or maybe the whole congregation, brother, would like to reach out to the people in these persecuted. So OD provides that platform. Now, obviously, it's going to cost you a bit, but at least there's a safe gateway into Myanmar or into North Korea or into these countries where you can be with the children of God who are being persecuted. Open Doors is involved in Syria, where it's building houses, where it's providing legal assistance to those who are being imprisoned, and in Iraq, where they provide orphanages for children who have been left orphaned because their mothers and fathers have died because of them coming to Christ. So by you giving in terms of money, it will help the organization as well.
That's really exciting. I think there's that special place, I think, when faith and love leads to action, and it's I think really encouraging when we know that action is effective, and when we partner with the Lord well. And I appreciate it might be very similar in terms of what the church in SA and us being in this local context can do, but maybe in terms of the broader global church and its response to the persecution of the church family is, what have you seen that response look like? What do we trust the Lord that response to look like in future as well?
We you haven't heard the story of Susan in on BBC, have you? Or CNN for that matter. Dare I say CNN? And it's because the world hates what is happening to people. They're coming to Christ. And because the world hates us. And so we cannot expect the world to speak against these things. In fact, they will probably condone these sort of actions. And what does the church need to do more and more in the Western world? We need to talk about this. We need to, this conversation we're having, we have to have more of that. In fact, it's going to require individuals to start, now that I'm aware of this, start investigating this. Go on the internet, go to Open Doors websites or Voice of the Martyr. There are other organizations busy with these things. Go and find out more. And in that sort of work corridor where you walk around or at school or at tech, wherever you are, start having these conversations. I'm encouraging my children to do so. Go to your primary school, your high school, go and talk about this. And I think the more people hear, the more people will talk about it, the more people will pray, the more people will want to go, and the more people would want to give.
I don't want to miss the opportunity for you to share anything else that the Lord might be stirring in your heart. That was sort of wrapped up the key questions from my side, but just wanted to open it up if there were any sort of closing remarks that you wanted to give.
Yeah. I think we, and I want to say this in closing perhaps, and I'm hoping that I'll articulate it properly. I think God needs to just remind us, and I'm praying that for myself regularly, that I shouldn't forget what the cross has done for us, what the saving grace of God has allowed us to have, and that is that we can talk to God. We are saved by just what has happened there. And I think that will spur anybody's heart on to think of those who are being persecuted, to think of those who still need to come to Christ. I was walking with my wife 2 days ago, and we passed a park, and on that park, at a particular time in the day, and that's probably my next mission, there's a host of Somalian women sitting there, sort of towards the end of the day, and I'm not quite sure if it's part of their prayer time or whatever. And this is predominantly a sort of, if I should talk race, a white community. But these individuals are sitting in there. There's just a host of them sitting in that park. And I'm looking at them and I'm looking at my wife. And that time we smirked. But afterwards I realized that maybe this is a field for me to venture into. To start talking to them about why? Because Christ, in my sinful state, came to me one day and he saved me without me looking for him. He saved me by grace. And he's now allowing, in this country where there is relative freedom, to talk about God, to go and talk to them. Let's not kick this freedom that we have. Let's not kick it to the curb. Let's not ignore that. Let's take everything that we have and go and advocate Christ. Because there are those who are like Susan who dare to go and talk about Christ, even when they are being persecuted. Thank you, my brother.
Amen. Thank you so much, Jan. We really sense there's the opportunity as well here for the Lord calling us to press into this. And to facilitate that, I'll hand over to Jacques.
Thanks, Yuan. Chris, just for facilitating that. And maybe as we close, I want us to do two things. We're going to pray together for the persecuted church. But also, I loved that quote, there's always open doors if you're willing not to go through and not expecting to come back. We know Jesus said that unless a grain of seed falls to the ground and dies, we'll never really live. And just for us to take some time to become quiet and just wait on God and ask, what does that look like for you? For different of us, it might look differently. Whether, obviously, we do missions, but in terms of what is Jesus calling to you to in this regard? Maybe if I can ask Robert, if you can switch off the lights for us just before we do communion. So let's take a minute. Just wait on God. Let just that sink in. Let him speak to you. Let his spirit guide you. You know, we're not on our own and we're not doing things for God. We're doing things with God. And Jesus opened the way that we can have relationship with him and really feel the ways of the kingdom are sometimes upside down. It might cost you a lot. It will cost you everything. But that's actually where life with him lies, is following him. So we do not need to be afraid of that. So just going to give us a minute or two as we just wait on God, just for you personally, not for the whole body or even what Open Doors needs to do or whoever. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit just to speak to us. Father, we thank you just for this time, Holy Spirit. Just that you allow us to be part of your hands and feet as a body of Christ. We thank you just as you now just come and lay on our hearts. What is each of our individual, what are you calling us to invest? Whether it's being prayer or reaching out or going, thank you just for that. Yeah, let's just wait on the Lord. Just, I want us also just to take a few seconds, just as that verse said, if one member suffers, all suffer. Just think about those who are suffering for their faith directly, as if it's your own suffering, if it's your brother or sister that's going through that. Us to two by two or three, depending on how you're grouped, to get someone near you. And let's pray just for the persecuted church. Let's pray for their boldness and just for protection and just God's presence where they are. And let's also pray for the Western church to rise up and go into action as well. Let's just take a few minutes, or give us 5 minutes as we just come together and pray for that. Our Father, we come and thank you, just as prayers are given to you in this, Father. Thank you, just for hearts that you have stirred this morning in this regard as well, Father. Thank you, just for faith to step out, to go where you lead us, Father. We thank you, just for strengthening our faith, and thank you, just for the persecuted church that we just come and pray for collectively this morning, Father. Just ask you, you will keep providing, Father. We thank you just for the gospel that is advancing despite even persecution, Jesus. We praise you for that, and thank you, Father, just for that we can be part of that, hands and feet. We thank you just for that in our hearts to step into action as well, Father. We thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Just reminded as we speak about the persecuted church, about unreached communities, and it's always crazy to think that there's unreached communities in Cape Town, in the form of like Boekop, it's an unreached community. They don't have a church in their community, because as was mentioned, people get ostracized as soon as they turn to Christ. So also, as we just keep praying, know that it's also very close to home. Now next, as we just going to partake of communion, I was just reading in 1 Corinthians 11 where it speaks about partaking in communion, and it says, "So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." And that, just wanna, as those who are getting it ready, just if for some reason you do not feel to partake this morning, feel free not to. As scripture tells us, we should not drink of it in an unworthy manner. And we saw in that video, not using Jesus' name in an unworthy manner. And just meaning that when we partake of communion, Jesus said, "This is my body, which is for you." Doesn't only represent his body. We take it as if it's his body. And drinking the cup that is his blood. So let's, as we partake in that, we just want to give us time just to become quiet. If there's anything that causes us to have sin that we knowingly are holding on to, partaking in communion then is partaking in an unworthy manner. And as it says, those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ. So it's the bread, it's the body of Christ, but it also, we are the body of Christ, honoring one another. So if there's any of that, let's just want to give time for us just to consider that. Just bring yourselves before the Lord as the communion is handed out. Jesus personally died for each of us, and we're celebrating Risen Sunday. We get to partake, reminding ourselves of what he did on the cross. Everyone get that. As we take the bread, I want you to break it, because his body, Jesus' body, was broken for us. By his stripes we are healed. Through his brokenness we get wholeness and healing. Father, we thank you, Jesus, just for your body that was broken for us, so that we may be made whole again through that. As we take of the juice, his blood brought about the new covenant, that we might have relationship, although our sins are too much, we would have never been able to come close to God, to draw near, if it wasn't for the blood of Jesus that set us free, that washed us clean, as white as snow. And with that, as we drink that now, partake of the juice, we declare partaking of the good news of Jesus, that we have been washed as white as snow. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you for your body that was broken, for our healing, for broken situations around us, broken communities, persecution that we see happening, brokenness even in the church, and that your body was broken so that we might get wholeness through that. Thank you just for reconciliation between us and you and between our circumstances, Jesus. Thank you just for your blood that washed us clean as white as snow. Praise you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, if you can ask the worship team.